Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 11 September 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to 3 John. You have to figure out the chapter. 3 John. Now, we always take a few moments for silent prayer. Some of you perhaps don't know why we take a few moments of silent prayer. Because I know you. And it gives you the opportunity for rebound. Silent prayer, if you're out of fellowship with God, unconfessed sin in your life, it isn't going to do you any good to be here if you're out of fellowship with God. You have to be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, so that the teaching ministry of the Spirit can take the communication from the gift of pastor-teacher and teach your human spirit. So it becomes phenomena, spiritual phenomena, pneumaticos, that you can comprehend and understand, and then it's up to you. Your free will, you either believe it or you don't. If you don't believe it, well, then no spiritual momentum, no spiritual growth. And if that's the way you operate your life, you will always be a loser in the plan of God. You won't lose your salvation, but you'll always be a loser. But you have a free will. You can either reject it or believe it. When you believe it, God the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it into your heart, where it becomes epinosis doctrine, completed knowledge, full knowledge. Bible doctrine, the target for the Word of God is your cardia, your heart. That's the target. God has given us this fantastic grace perspicacity to get the Word of God from the Bible into your heart. And when you get maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, why then, you will glorify God to the maximum. And we got a believer we're studying here, one of the greatest believers in the ancient world, and that was a fellow by the name of Gaius. And Gaius was the best of the best, a true winner believer. And the Apostle John can say nothing but great things about Gaius. So in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, that you have graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today is 9/11. 24 years ago, our nation came under a horrible terrorist attack. We must never, ever forget what happened 24 years ago on 9/11. That terrorist attack came from the outside. Sad thing, today we see day after day after day terrorism from within the nation of America. Day after day we see children in school murdered. We see a refugee from Ukraine murdered on a train. We see a great member of the royal family of God, Charlie Kirk, murdered. And Charlie Kirk was a very great believer. Very great believer. And he was a fantastic ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he represented the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And he was very outspoken. People would ask him at some of these students at these different universities would ask him, "Are you a Christian?" "Yes, I am a Christian." "What is a Christian?" "The person who has believed in Jesus Christ as their Savior." "How do you know the Bible is true?" He says, "Well, there's lots of documentation throughout history that the Bible is being true, but it is absolute truth." And he says, "I have personally believed in Jesus Christ as my Savior. We know for a fact that Jesus Christ was here. We know for a fact that Jesus Christ went to a cross. We know for a fact that he paid the penalty of the sins of the world. And we know for a fact that after he was dead and buried, he was resurrected and ascended to the right hand of the Father. And that is the fact. And yes, I am a Christian and I totally believe those things." He was a fantastic ambassador. He was an ambassador for Christ that went all over America as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Now, Sunday, we're going to have a meeting for the evangelism team from Upland Bible Church. A local church is made up with a group of believers. Every one of you have at least one spiritual gift. And that spiritual gift puts you on the team. A local church is a team made up of all these different spiritual gifts. And in the 48 years that I have been here, I have seen those spiritual gifts work fantastically. All different kinds of spiritual gifts work. And a lot of times the people didn't even know what their spiritual gift was, but I knew what it was. I could see it working in the church. And it's a teamwork. Now, if you're not living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then you'll be AWOL, absent without leave. But you still have a spiritual gift, and that spiritual gift is a part of a team and teamwork. And the evangelism team is a team. And they go out all over Southern Nevada and proclaiming the grace gospel everywhere. From Boulder City and the Veterans Home to Indian Springs to adult daycare centers all over Las Vegas and Southern Nevada to Child Haven. They have gone and presented the grace gospel again and again and again. And there will be multitudes of people in heaven as a result of that evangelism from the evangelism team. So there will be that meeting for anybody that would on the evangelism team or anyone who would like to be on the evangelism team. You could meet after the second class Sunday. All right. Patriot Day. This is Patriot Day, 9/11, Patriot Day. And we have an update on Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Rich Blair is conducting the Heaven Special there. And this is the Las Ventanas September 10th report. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special lesson on Wednesday, September 10th, went very well. Before the lesson began, we were listening to gospel songs. Suddenly, all the ladies spontaneously began singing along to Blessed Assurance. The angels must have been thrilled. The angels were singing along too. The angels were celebrating, singing along. They're going, this is fantastic. This is great. Pastor Olson continued lesson 19, teaching about the greatest wedding of all time, the marriage between Christ and his bride. We're the bride. You're the bride. The church. The pastor referred to passages in Hosea to describe how God directed Hosea to marry Gomer, a prostitute who was unfaithful. Yet Hosea always loved Gomer after she left him, and he welcomed her back by purchasing her as a slave to illustrate how God continued to love Israel after they rejected the Lord. In contrast, in the next lesson, Pastor Olson will teach where the church is regarded as a virgin bride awaiting her heavenly bridegroom. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. All right, 3 John. We have been in the first 4 verses here, and the Apostle John, there was a believer in the church that he absolutely loved. And this is very neat because the Apostle John was the believer that the Lord Jesus Christ absolutely loved. The Lord Jesus Christ loved John. And it was John that when Christ was on the cross said, John, you take care of my mother. And he did. The Lord Jesus Christ assigned that duty to John because the Lord Jesus Christ loved John. Well, the Apostle John loves Gaius the same way. And it starts out, the old man, the commander. It's the Greek word presbyteros. That's a Greek word for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher, not apostleship. And so a lot of epistles start out Paul, an apostle, establishing his apostolic authority and that he has the gift of apostleship. This one starts out as with establishing the fact that John not only is an apostle, he also has the gift of pastor-teacher. And he is the pastor-teacher of this local church, except the head of the board of deacons, Diotrephes, is an arrogant, evil jackass, and he will not allow John's letters to be taught in the church. He refuses to let them be taught. And we're going to meet Diotrephes. We have the best of the best in Gaius. We have the worst of the worst in Diotrephes. So we have the old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. Gaius is a winner believer, and he has been receiving the entire greater grace blessing package. Verse 3. For I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family, came and bore witness to your aletheia, your absolute truth, namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, living your life in aletheia. You're living your life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. Verse 4, I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is, to keep on hearing that my students, my congregation, are walking, living the spiritual life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Well, that's quite a beginning to 3 John. In our passage, the spotlight is being placed on God's perfect happiness, plus H, self-contained happiness. Perfect happiness is the monopoly of the believer living in spiritual adulthood. Plus H is a perpetual happiness. It's a self-contained happiness that you take with you moment by moment, day by day in your life. Plus H is a perpetual happiness for every category of existence after salvation. The relationship between our Lord's perfect happiness and the church age believer's perfect happiness is given in John 15:11, which says, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have taught you these doctrines in order that my happiness, perfect happiness, might be in you and that your happiness might be completed. Perfect happiness, or plus H, is one of the most phenomenal of all blessings. Perfect happiness is the result of the believer fulfilling the ultimate objective of the spiritual life and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And that virtue love, you're well aware of by now through repetition, that virtue love is made up of personal love for God the Father, the great motivational virtue, impersonal love for all mankind, the good, the bad, and the ugly, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. The other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is perfect happiness, plus H. Plus H, or perfect happiness, belongs to the winner believer who finds wisdom, called Sophia in the Koine Greek, called Chokma in the Hebrew. This is metabolized doctrine. This is doctrine that you have believed and gone from stage 1 to stage 4, Bible doctrine, epinosis doctrine in your heart. Proverbs 3:13 says, happiness is to the man who finds wisdom. Metabolize doctrine in your heart. Perfect happiness is the result of maximum grace orientation. Psalm 31:7, I will rejoice and be happy in the provision of your grace. And then we noted the characteristics of this perfect happiness. Perfect happiness is tranquility of soul. Perfect happiness is a problem-solving device preventing stress in the soul. Perfect happiness is contentment of soul. Perfect happiness is capacity for life and love and appreciation, gratitude, and thanksgiving. Perfect happiness is never being threatened by adverse circumstances, by people, or by evil situations. Perfect happiness is the invigoration of happiness. This is the stimulation and the enthusiasm in life from right priorities. You have spiritual priorities. God and His Word are number one in your life. So a stimulation and enthusiasm in life from correct and spiritual priorities, from also maximum metabolized doctrine, wisdom in your heart, and freedom from garbage in the subconscious mind. Perfect happiness is having a true sense of security, assurance regarding eternal security, eternal life, and freedom. Freedom from fear. When you have God's perfect happiness, you are free from fear, no worry, no doubt, no apprehension. Perfect happiness is stability from honor and virtue, the attainment of grace righteousness in your heart. And then we noted we got to the mandate for happiness, and that's the last thing we took a look at. We saw the mandate in Psalm 97:12 and Philippians 3:1. Philippians 3:1 says, finally, my brethren, keep on having happiness in the Lord. That's a mandate. A mandate. Keep on having happiness in the Lord. To be writing this same mandate to you, on the one hand, is not tedious, while on the other hand, it is a safeguard. Plus H, perfect happiness, is a safeguard for you. Now, there's one other passage we need to look at, and that's Philippians 4:4. So turn over to Philippians 4, verse 4. And I've even heard come to me that some of you are complaining that I teach the repetition, repeat. Pastor Olson's repeating. Well, thank you. Thank you for that wonderful compliment. That's the best compliment you can give me, that I'm repeating. The same thing was said about Colonel Thieme. His own congregation complaining of his repetition, repeating. He was doing that, and they were complaining about it. That was the greatest thing that they could say for him. So he appreciated, thank you. And like I told you about Mae Walker, that great lady with 11 terminal illnesses, they brought her in a wheelchair, wheeled her right down in front of the pulpit, put some blocks under her so she didn't go all the way and hit the pulpit. And she was there every single night, every night. And I had the privilege of knowing her and meeting her and having dinner with her. And she had 11 terminal illnesses. She was operating, living in a wheelchair. And yet she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. except for my wife, Debbie. She is the most beautiful woman, too. She was absolutely a beautiful lady, Mae Walker. And she says, she told me. And she says, I know. First of all, she says, and I introduced myself to her, Dick Olson, you're one of my boys. I pray for you every single day. You're on the prayer list at Baraka. I pray for you every day. And I said, well, thank you very much for your prayers. And now I know why things are going so well at Dallas Theological Seminary. This was one of the greatest prayer warriors of all time. And she said, I have 11 terminal illnesses, but I'm still here. I'm here because the colonel needs me. I'm his prayer warrior, and I pray for him day after day after day. And so that's why I'm still here. And one time, I knew the fellow that would pick her up and bring her to Baraka. And one time it was raining really hard in Houston. When it rains in Houston, people die. They float down the holes. So he thought, well, she doesn't want to come to church when it's raining this hard, so he didn't pick her up. Oh, mama. She got on the phone. Where were you? And he said, well, I was raining so hard, I thought you wouldn't want to go to church. She says, you come and get me when it's raining hard. I'll pray and God will stop the rain at my house. So he said, okay. And the next time it was raining really hard, he headed over there. He says, it was raining cats and dogs until he got a block from her house and it stopped raining. Well, got her, put her in. She said, I told you. See? And she, don't you ever not pick me up. I'm going to be in church, in class, every single time the colonel teaches. I will be there. I'm his prayer warrior. And she was an amazing prayer warrior. But she would say, you know, I hear people complaining at Baraka that the colonel is repeating himself. Well, he's supposed to be doing that. He's not teaching us so we remember it. He's teaching us so we never forget it. And the only way that can happen is to repeat, 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 repeat. That's the only way. But we got believers today that think they know everything. They're geniuses. Here at one time, hey, I got it. What are you repeating for? If you, any of you think I repeat too much, just come on back. You can come on back in my office. And we'll talk about the importance of repetition. Keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. Once more, I repeat the command. Keep on having happiness. All right. Let's take a look at this. 1, plus H, perfect happiness, is the only happiness in the world that you can have at all times. At all times. Wherever you are, no matter what your circumstances are, whether you're living or you're dying, whether you're in prosperity or adversity, whether you're rich or you're poor, it doesn't make any difference. Plus H, perfect happiness, is the only happiness in the world you can have at all times. Now, just in case you don't know, all time, 24/7. 24/7, no matter what your circumstances. 2, the perfect happiness you attain in time, you carry that with you all the way to heaven. The perfect happiness you attain in time, you will carry that happiness with you all the way to heaven. Three, perfect happiness plus age must be developed here in time. It is designed for living and dying now. Our life on earth is in two phases, the living phase and the dying phase, and plus age is designed for both phases. For the living phase of your life and the dying phase of your life, right now, in the short time while we're here on planet Earth. And we're only here a short time. To obey the command to keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times is something that we cannot do by way of works any more than we can be saved by works. It's the result of living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, by the grace and power of God, and attaining maturity. Four, this divine command can only be executed by living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, and attain spiritual maturity. This divine command can only be executed by living the spiritual life by the grace and power of God, and attain spiritual maturity. Hearing this twice repeated command, keep on having happiness in the Lord at all times. Once more, I repeat the command, keep on having happiness. Hearing that and knowing how to execute it are two different things. As with anything, there are a number of things you first must learn to execute God's plan. Everything in life must be done by the numbers. And yet many believers want instant solutions and miracles. But the point is, we need to get with the plan of God. Get with God's system to have His perfect happiness plus H. Perfect happiness or plus H is not dependent on pleasure or success, or social life, or marriage, or sex, or health. Perfect happiness plus age is developed by living the unique spiritual life of the church age, by the spiritual skills. Spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, Galatians 5:16. Spiritual skill number two, the teaching ministry of the Spirit, 2 Peter 3:18. Plus H is the only happiness totally independent of the status symbols of life. Perfect happiness is the result of maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now in 3 John verses 3 and 4, we have the verb peripateo used for walking. And I refer you back to Zechariah, our Tuesday class, Zechariah 3 verse 7, where I taught the doctrine of walking there in Zechariah 3, 7. So I refer you to your notes on that. There's only one thing that I didn't cover in Zechariah 3:7 because I was going to amplify it here in 3 John, and that is walking in aletheia, walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God. So We didn't cover that in Zechariah 3:7, but we will cover it now in 3 John. So 1, walking in aletheia. A-L-long-E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia is the Greek word for absolute truth. The absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures. Aletheia. Sanctify, Jesus Christ prayed to the Father, sanctify them by means of the truth. Aletheia, your word is aletheia, absolute truth. He said the same thing. He says, I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. So the Lord Jesus Christ used this several times. Walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the word of God is the avoidance of Satan's cosmic system. Staying out of interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. So walking in aletheia, walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God, is the avoidance of Satan's cosmic system, interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. 2, walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God is the environment for thinking divine viewpoint. Walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God is the environment for thinking divine viewpoint. Not human viewpoint garbage, but divine viewpoint. 3, to walk in aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God, demands first of all humility. Demands humility. And humility that is the foundational virtue of the spiritual life. The foundational virtue of the human life. No other virtues will be developed in your life until you first of all have the foundation. And the foundation is humility. That's the foundational virtue. If you have that, then you will develop the other virtues. You will develop personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ, and perfect happiness. All of those will be built on the foundation. But first, you have to have the foundation. And the foundation, foundational virtue, is humility. So to walk in aletheia, to walk in the absolute truth of the Word of God, demands the foundational virtue of humility. And that means respect for the authority of God. And by the way, Diotrephes, he's the head of the board of deacons. And by the way, I don't want you to think anything about the head of our board of deacons when I talk about Diotrephes. I have a great head of the board of deacons. I have a great group of deacons. And I have been since I've been here. For when I first came here, I had a lot of military people as deacons. The only problem with having the military as deacons is that Uncle Sam moved them all over. They were here for a short time, and then they had to move somewhere else, So they were only here very temporary. So as great as they were as deacons, they were all. I was always having to get new deacons and new deacons and new deacons. So now the last group we had there, now we got old Jeff is the youngster of the group. The others are they've been here a while, you know. But it's great. And I can only thank them for the multitudes and multitudes and multitudes of things that they constantly do to free me so that I can study and teach and study and teach and study and teach. You have to have respect for the authority of God. You have to have respect for the authority of the Word of God. You have to have respect for the authority of the communicator of the Word of God. And Diotrephes had no humility at all. Four, the greatest asset you can have is genuine humility. Now, you don't start out with genuine humility. You start out with enforced humility. And that is being under legitimate authority, being under spiritual authority. Spiritual authority is the presbyteros, the commander of the local church. He's the spiritual authority. And it starts out with enforced humility. You assemble under the authority of the commander, the presbyteros. And whether and you may like him, don't like him, don't like his personality, a lot of things. You don't have to like him. You don't have to love me. You don't have to send, I love you. You don't say that. And you don't have to do like the people sitting. I've had people sit in the back row, not you people sitting in the back row, who would look up and I'd be teaching along and then they go. And I said, boy, I must really be doing a good job. I'm doing a great job teaching today. That's great. So it's respect for the communicator of the Word of God. It's enforced. He starts out with enforced humility, and then you develop genuine humility from that. So point four, the greatest asset you can have is genuine humility. He starts out with enforced humility, functioning under authority, and then when you do that, you wind up with genuine humility. Five, walking in aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God, is the environment for great decisions. You'll make good decisions, good decisions, good decisions. Walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, is the environment for good decisions. Six, if you're not walking in the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, then you are making bad decisions, maximum bad decisions. If you are not walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, then you're making bad decisions. And ultimately, your bad decisions will result in you running out of options, leaving only divine discipline in the wake of a wasting and useless life. Sad to say, many, many Christians fall into that category. Seven, walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, means functioning under the, first of all, enforced humility of doctrinal teaching that produces that genuine humility in your life. Walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God, means functioning under the enforced humility of doctrinal teaching that results in that genuine humility in your life. Eight, now you can transfer that aletheia, that absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, to your experience. And what is that? What is that? When you have aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in your heart, How do you transfer? What happens when you transfer that to your experience? Now you have in your soul a uniform, an invisible uniform, the uniform of honor. The uniform of honor. And that uniform of honor, now you are living your life by the royal family honor code. And that was Gaius. He had the uniform of honor in his heart, and he was living his life by the royal family honor code. And that's, we need more and more of that in America today. So now verse 5. 3 John verse 5. Beloved, we always start with the King James, beloved, thou doest faithfully. This is the vocative of agapetos plus the present active indicative of poieo plus the accusative singular pistos. Agapetos. A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S, agapetos. Now, agapetos is a verbal adjective. It comes from the verb agapao, and that's one of John's, he uses that all the time for virtue love, agapao. It is often translated beloved or dear friend. It refers to the royal family of God, a fellow member of the royal family of God. The vocative case is the vocative of address. What John is doing here, he's putting the spotlight on agapetos and the principle of the royal family of God. Agapetos puts the spotlight on the principle of the royal family of God. So the doctrine of the royal family of God. The doctrine of the royal family of God. One, the basis for the royal family of God. Point one, the basis for the royal family of God. One, a royal family is the family of a king. A royal family is the family of a king, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of all kings. And the Lord Jesus Christ has three categories of royalty: divine royalty, Jewish royalty, and battlefield royalty. Battlefield royalty as a result of his strategic victory on the cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ has three categories of royalty: divine royalty, Jewish royalty, and battlefield royalty as a result of his strategic victory on the cross. First of all, Jesus Christ is divine royalty as God. He is divine royalty as God. He is a sovereign king as a part of the Trinity, possessing all the attributes of divine essence. As the manifest person of the Trinity, no one has seen God the Father. No one has seen God the Holy Spirit. The only manifest person of the Trinity is our Lord. And he wears the crown of divine royalty. He is the only person of the Trinity that has ever been seen. John chapter 1, verse 18. John 1:18 says, no man has seen God, God the Father, or God the Holy Spirit, at any time. The uniquely born one who is in the bosom of the Father, he has exegeomied him. E K K-S, long E-G-E-O-M-A-I. He has exegeomite him. And we get from that exegeted him. He has exegeted him. So no man has ever seen God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit at any time. The uniquely born one who is in the bosom of the Father, he has exegeted him. And then turn over to John 6:46. John 6:46. Again, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only member of the Trinity that that man has seen. We haven't seen him, but at the first advent, they saw him. His royal title is the Son of God. The members of his royal family are God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, with whom he has eternal and infinite coexistence. So he is the Son of God. Second, because of the incarnation and virgin birth, our Lord was born Jewish royalty. So he has divine royalty and he has Jewish royalty. The virgin birth introduced the humanity of Christ into the world, at which point Jesus Christ became Jewish royalty. He is descended from two of the sons of David through Bathsheba, the line of royal descent from Solomon ends with Joseph, and that is listed in Matthew. The line of royal descent from Nathan, given in Luke, comes down to Mary, our Lord's real mother. His royal title is the Son of David. His royal family is the dynasty of David. As Jewish royalty, our Lord fulfills the Davidic covenant. He will fulfill the Davidic covenant. That's one of the four unconditional covenants God made with Israel. He will fulfill it at the second advent. And then third, as a result of our Lord's resurrection, ascension, and session and hypostatic union, our Lord received his third royal patent, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the bright morning star. So, one, by virtue of his strategic victory on the cross, our Lord received his battlefield royalty. Battlefield royalty as the strategic victory in the angelic conflict. By virtue of his strategic victory on the cross, our Lord received his battlefield royalty as the strategic victor in the angelic conflict. Two, his strategic victory on the cross was confirmed by his resurrection, ascension, and session at the right hand of the Father, where he received his third royal patent, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. And in Revelation 19, verse 16, he has this royal title written on his robe. Three, when our Lord received his third royal patent, he had no royal family to accompany it. When our Lord received his third royal patent, he had no royal family to accompany it. A third royal family, therefore, had to be formed. Four, therefore, God the Father interrupted the dispensation of Israel. That came to a halt. It hasn't ended. We still have the 7-year tribulation, but that'll pick up again after the intercalation of the church age. Therefore, God the Father interrupted the dispensation of Israel and inserted the church age for what? For the calling out of a royal family to accompany our Lord's third royal title. So therefore, God the Father interrupted the dispensation of Israel and inserted the church age for the calling out of the royal family to accompany our Lord's third royal title. 5. The mechanics for the formation of this royal family is the baptism of the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit never occurred before in human history. It only occurs in the church age. It began at Pentecost, and it enters all church age believers into union with Jesus Christ. So the mechanics for the formation of the royal family is the baptism of the Spirit, begun at Pentecost, which enters all believers of the church age into union with Christ. 6. When the royal family is completed, it will be resurrected as per the rapture of the church. When the royal family is completed, it will be resurrected as per the rapture of the church. Well, that's point one of the doctrine of the royal family of God. Hoo-ah. We got a few more points to go, but not tonight. So we'll stop here and pick it up on the royal family of God next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. Thank you for the privilege we had this evening of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.